Welcome to the 44th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. My name is Temma Frank and I'm your host. Thanks to IBM for their continued sponsorship of this show. Today's interview is a short one, but a good one, with musician David Usher. I don't know about you, but I'm really terrible at remembering who wrote or performed the music that I really love. So when I heard the name David Usher, it was kind of familiar to me, but it wasn't until I heard this song that it really struck me, oh yeah, that's who it is. And it was an absolute thrill to be able to interview him.
Spells on the air, see there it's crushing the final impression. Stains on the paper where words felt like water. Unearth all the changes that never did matter. I think it's beginning to freeze here.
David is not only a very talented musician, but he is also a creative consultant to organizations like the Cirque du Soleil. And I figure if you can manage to do creativity consulting for a company that's that creative to begin with, you must be pretty darn good. What I particularly enjoyed about listening to David, both in his talk at the E-Town Festival and in our interview, is, like many entrepreneurs, my mind is constantly sparking off new ideas, and it can be really, really tough for me to keep focused and not to go off on a whole bunch of tangents. And David discussed this challenge with me in our interview. In particular, he stressed the importance of discipline to creativity. We think of creativity as being something magical and free-flowing, and to a certain extent it is, but those magical ideas aren't going to go anywhere without the discipline to shape them and do something with them. And that's really what distinguishes a successful creative person from somebody who sits in their house daydreaming. I hope you enjoy the interview, and I'll chat with you briefly afterwards. One of the things that struck me, and you know, you're showing the picture of yourself as a little kid, is so bang on. I mean, I felt that university was what killed the creativity in me. I used to write stories and stuff before that, and then I got so into analytical thinking, and then I did an MBA and it got worse. So the question in my mind is, particularly within large sort of bureaucratic organizations, even if they want to encourage creativity, is it really feasible and sustainable? Is there any way they can really do that?
It really depends on the structure. Creativity is not something that you can slap onto a company, right? You have to build it into the company's DNA. Companies like Google are creative because they build it in. They build it in. It's built in that 20% of time.
Although I've heard that they're lessening that now. Yeah.
Everyone shifts around. You know, Apple's been trying it. Freeware does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's not the kind of, that's the classic thing with EMI or companies like that. You know, you would think that a company that has so many advantages for the user would be able to transition. It's impossible to transition because that's not the nature of a company. So the commitment from the top has to be huge, and then the teams have to be small, right? Because massive teams with massive bureaucracy ideas do not do well in those environments. Because it's very hard to get the routing.
Absolutely.
You know, routing is so important for ideas, right? To take an idea from infancy to a final product, and take it on a creative journey, it takes incredible discipline in terms of you have to give the ideas a chance to live and breathe. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about getting from point A to point B. And that's difficult in big organizations.
Well, that's another thing that I found really interesting in what you were saying, is that you need the structural foundation in order to let creativity flourish.
Absolutely.
So how does that work? Can you elaborate a bit more on?
Well, I mean, people think of the arts as being free-flowing, but the arts is not free-flowing. It's incredibly structured. I mean, you go everywhere from dancers to painters to musicians. There's an incredible creative structure. But it's all in support of an imagination, right? But without one, the other doesn't exist. But if you have no structure to deliver the ideas, they won't deliver.
Right.
So you have to have both.
Right.
But you have to allow for this freedom of imagination on top.
So it's a difficult balance.
It is a balance, absolutely.
But you're right, I've been on dance, modern dance sports, and you're quite right. They go in, they rehearse, they
intense.
It's very intense business.
It's a business.
It is.
It's an intense business.
Yeah.
And to say that, you know, and that's the thing that people don't realize. From the outside, the arts looks, you know, lots of fun. But there's a, you know, tipping me, and it's very, it's very,
no, no, go ahead.
It's very, very structured.
Yes. One of the things that also really resonated with me, you sort of commented about you've got these 500 different things on the go. How do you focus?
I have teams that work on different projects, and I'm very good at flipping.
Okay.
Flipping, and I'm very good with disengaging my creative thinking from the genre itself.
Okay.
So the idea being that if you are too married to your discipline, it becomes very difficult to see the angles and become interested in other things. So for me, I've somehow been able to disengage that. So I find technology as interesting as music.
Right.
Or I find many different things are as interesting as other things because the process that goes into them is the same process. It's just a slightly different tilt on it.
Well, presumably the fact that you're involved in these different types of disciplines, the creativity from one will affect your decisions or creativity in that.
Absolutely. And you can't run everything at the same time. I mean, that's the
thing. Right.
It's a time limit. You can't be doing everything at once. You can't, you know, something, you lose something in the transit, in the translation, but you do as much as you can.
Yeah.
And you usually pushing towards the successful ones and dumping the ones that aren't working. You
know, that makes sense. What about, I'm interested in your thoughts on creativity versus copyright and how musicians, when you talk about, and I've seen this, the need to just perform and perform and perform now as opposed to relying on record sales. But as everybody, you know, where do you draw the lines between what's an appropriate mashup or borrowing of somebody else's content to create your own versus...
Well, I mean... And that's always the balance, right? I mean, if you're stealing somebody's vocal and using your song, they're gonna want a percentage of that.
Yeah.
Right? If you're taking the impression of a bass line, it depends. You know, it's a gray area. If you those are gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I always think of artists as thieves,
right?
And I think of entrepreneurs as thieves as well.
Right.
Like, our job as entrepreneurs and artists is to suck the best ideas around us, hold on to them, and then, you know, strip away all the crap, and then meld the ideas that are good together and make new things.
Mm-hmm. So what suggestions would you have for businesses that want to try and maintain that creativity as they earn?
I think that you have to invest in your creativity.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You have to invest time, money, people into creativity. You have to build small teams.
And how small is small? What's the size after which it doesn't work?
For initial ideas, it's no more than, say, every team is different. You know, that's the thing about from 3 to 10 people.
Yeah.
Some are in there.
Yeah.
Beyond that, with a hierarchy within that structure.
Right.
Within that, say, 10 structure or that,
yeah,
5 structure. But that's for initial ideas, for generating new ideas that are sparks, right? That you can build upon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you suck out the good ones and you discard the bad ones. But it takes a commitment, right? Just like, you know, I mean, that's the thing that artists really understand. They understand the commitment to something, even though the payoff may be nothing.
Yeah.
Very likely to be,
yes,
nothing, right?
Yeah.
We're committed to things because we love them,
yeah,
and we will do them for nothing.
Right.
Because we love it and have to.
Yes.
And that's the big rub, right? So to get really great ideas, sometimes business has to commit enough investment. If they're willing to get nothing, it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Which is pretty
much really hard.
Yeah, especially when we've got stock markets that penalize that.
Exactly. Right. And it's very difficult. So it's not easy.
Yeah.
But it's like an investment, right? But I think about this a lot. I mean, if in the world that we live in, is time spent on creative thinking an investment or expense?
Mm-hmm.
Depends on your worldview.
Right.
Depends what you think of the internet. If you think it's here to stay, if you think that change and revolution is here to stay, or if it's a fad. It depends on where your business is, right? Like if you're making a widget, you can make the same widget from now to eternity, you're still going to make money. Then you don't really need to invest in anything.
Right.
But if your business is going to be affected really heavily by change in the next 5 years, then there's a much greater incentive to be innovative, to be creative, to invest in those things, because those are the people that are going to understand change and be able to move quickly when you need them.
Right. You commented that with the internet, the skills that we need to be learning and teaching even at the grade school level are different. One of the things that, of course, has occurred to me is, why do we still force memorization? Does that make sense?
Well, it's a balance, though, right? If you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be smart and learn lots of stuff. You're crammed into your brain.
Yes.
Right? You need to have...
But I also want you to be willing and able to look up what's the most recent research.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's a balance between those two things, right? But for many, many things, the information is different. The way we gather information is different. It's no longer about, memorizing very specific things in a specific order, everyone learning exactly the same time, the same way, and the same subjects. It's much more about encouraging kids to follow things that interest them, so we maintain interest. Because that's the hardest thing, right, for kids, is to maintain that sense that education is a fun, interesting thing.
Right.
And that's what you want. You want them to be interested in what they're learning. And it's the same with adults, right? Adults are interesting. Most adults have stopped learning by the age of 30.
That's a scary one.
But learning things outside of what's specifically related to their job.
It's true.
It's very rare. Even for myself, I was in music. I had a career in music for a long. I've been in music for a long time. And it was only when I started to really get back into learning again. I was like, oh my God, learning inspires learning, right? And so when you refine that, this is the thing that kids need to have throughout their education,
right?
Not be turned off by education so they don't want to learn.
Right.
Learning is incredible, right? Learning is where it all comes from.
Yeah.
And so when you hit that trigger in later life, it's like, wow, this is a great thing. It's fun.
So what got you into the whole business side of things?
The need to make money. Money is all that for everyone. It's an impetus. But at the same time, I really love ideas. I really love ideas in different disciplines, different genres. I like to make stuff. I try not to think about, I'm lucky that I get to make things that I'm interested in.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I don't want to take more of your time, but this was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
One of the things that really stuck with me about this interview was his comment that if your business is about to be clobbered by change in the next 5 years, and that is true for a great many traditional businesses, you've got a powerful incentive to invest in creativity. And creativity does take investment. It takes time to get those creative ideas going and to shape them into something that will be profitable and successful for your company. I would really urge you in your organizations to think about that and to invest in the creative process and encouraging people within your organization to be creative. Another aspect of creativity that he touched on that I think is vitally important is that in order for creative ideas to develop and flourish, the people developing them need to be exposed to a lot of different types of disciplines, that you need to be a person who's not just focused on one thing all the time. That's why I think often creative ideas are more likely to flourish in really small organizations where people are able to seize on something that interests them and run with it. That can be a challenging thing for large organizations to do, but it is really, really crucial for them to be successful. And one of the biggest examples of that is Google, where they've always made it a practice to encourage creativity among their employees. And a lot of their best ideas have come from that free time they've given them to be creative. Over the coming weeks' episodes, we'll be talking more and more about the process that goes into encouraging creative ideas and shaping creative ideas into profitable ideas for your business. That's all for today. If you've got any thoughts about the show or ideas for topics you'd like me to focus on in future episodes, please give me a call or send me an email. You can call me toll-free at 1-866-544-9262 or email me anytime, Tema, T-E-M as in mother A, at frankonlinemarketing.com. You can also, of course, go visit the website, and I'd really encourage you to do that and check out some of the other shows and blog posts. The website address, of course, is frankonlinemarketing.com. And if you're enjoying this show, I'd really appreciate it if you would pass on the information about the show to your friends and colleagues and encourage them to sign up for it, either in iTunes or on Stitcher, or even just directly through our website. And I'd be most grateful if you'd put a little feedback in on iTunes, if that's where you get this podcast from, because the more people that provide feedback, the more likely it is that others who could benefit from it will hear about it. Thanks so much. I look forward to chatting with you next week.